Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The worst butt chewing I've taken from my grandfather this day, and it never equivalented as close as my dad's butt chewing. That was different, right? That was, yeah. My dad was way worse. But the worst one out of any, all the stupid stuff I have done was shooting my brother with an airsoft gun with about the distance between me and you, just wide open, and I held it to him. And that was the first time and the only time I've ever seen Coach's teeth.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, I'm Kevin Harvick. You're listening to Kevin Harvick's Happy Hour presented by NASCAR and Fox. You can follow us on YouTube or anywhere on social media at Harvick Happy Pod and download us anywhere that you get your podcasts. So today is an interview that I think was very fun. It gives us a little bit of insight into some of the personalities of all four drivers at Joe Gibbs Racing. We had some great stories from the young Ty Gibbs. We had some jabs back and forth. And in the end, Christopher Bell took $100 from me in the putting, in the chipping competition. So follow along. Hope you enjoy this interview.
All right. Well, they figured that I couldn't interview one person well, so they brought four of you to see if I can actually figure out how to make this all flow correctly. So pardon me if I screw this up, but I wanted to make sure that we took you guys somewhere that wasn't normal. So we wound up at the golf course, which I only think there's one of us that can actually golf here, and that's probably you. He claims not to be a good golfer. I golf once a year. You guys sound like about the same, and you shoot golf balls.
Tight.
I'd like to, yeah.
Is that right?
I could.
That's how I started playing golf. We went and shot, went to the driving range to do this, and Hornaday were like, yeah. Hornaday and I were like, man, we are not very good golfers. So we went and got shotguns. Earnhardt gave us our first shotgun, and we started shooting.
Way more fun. Denny can chip them up in the air. I'll shoot them.
Hey,
I could do that.
That's what we should have done. We're in Texas.
What are we doing?
We should be blowing stuff up, not trying to hit golf balls, but. I thought it would be interesting to have you guys come as a group, because right now I feel like it's you against Hendrick Motorsports. And you guys came in with a new car, new body, new everything, and with the short track stuff dominated, kind of got your legs underneath you at the mile and a half. And I feel like you guys are in a spot to do things that is expected out of Joe Gibbs Racing. So I guess my first question would be, and I'm just going to go right to it, is this a championship year? Because it feels like everybody's leading laps. You're on the verge of winning your first race. You've been battling for wins. You've won races, and you've been doing the exact same thing, leading laps and doing everything you guys need to do. So is this a Joe Gibbs Racing championship year?
Am I starting it off?
You are.
It seems like we've got the resources to do it for sure. And you know, since the introduction of the next gen car, we've had our strengths and our weaknesses. But that year in 2022, it was the short track stuff, the road course package wasn't good for our cars. And so we put in a lot of effort into trying to increase our performance on the road courses and the short track stuff, which was Phoenix. A big hole was Phoenix. And then this new car seems like it's bridged the gap a little bit. And that was my best race to date.
So you've been through a number of these years racing for championships, won a championship. How does it feel? Does it feel different this year compared to other years? Because from the outside looking in, it feels different to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's hard to compare to, like, the championship year and stuff with the old car, right? Because whether we're better or not, it's the whole field's still way tighter than it was then, right? Yeah. So I feel similar in the fact that I feel like we're very well-rounded. We can go anywhere and be fast. One of us is going to be fast everywhere we go, which we haven't really had that the last 2 years. Like Christopher mentioned, we've had struggles at road courses, struggles at short tracks 1 year. It just has been not we haven't all felt like every single week we go to the racetrack we win. And I feel like this year, from the way things have felt, it's like one of us is going to have a chance.
Yeah.
So I feel similar in that respect, but the field is still way closer than it was in all those years we raced for championships, yeah. You know?
How is it having all the experience around you? I know a little bit about you. A lot of people don't know a little bit about you. I know your work ethic and the things that you do behind the scenes. So how much do you lean on these guys, and how much of it is, okay, I take a little bit from him, I take a little bit from these two, and has morphed into your own driving style with what you do?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, really cool growing up in this time, you know, where the generations are changing as well. So we still got some of these guys. I grew up watching these guys, and then me and Christopher are, you know, roughly new. So it's definitely cool. It's and another aspect is cool because I grew up kind of studying their data, so then I end up kind of knowing about that, more about how they drive and about their own personalities my whole life and until now. So it's been cool. I've had a lot of great help from my teammates, and very blessed to be in the position I'm in and having a great time.
So you've been here for a long time and been within Joe Gibbs Racing. You've seen the ups and the downs, and I think for the years that I've seen everything go on, there seems to be somebody that has to be the leader of where the direction of the cars go. Do you need more rear downforce, front downforce? Is that you? Is that all of you? How would you explain the process of how you arrived with getting a car like you guys have? Because I feel like your car is really as superior as it's been in a long time with what you guys designed and developed. And so what's you're the one that's been here the longest. Yeah. What's the difference from where you were when you started as far as Joe Gibbs Racing to where you are now to how you developed this car and how that's led within the group and the organization from the driver's standpoint? We all know that there's engineers and people that are smarter than us.
Well, I would say that I'm probably the most vocal in the driver's meetings, but it's because of the experience. Martin is also, you know, we have seen different generations of different Camrys, and we've seen the positives and the negatives when we go down a certain direction. So I probably am the most vocal, and then we go to kind of Martin to say, do you feel the same way? Because we've been through so many generations of different cars that, you know, we're trying to send these guys in certain areas to work on. Now, they're kind of soaking things up. They haven't been around as long. Christopher's now starting to get to the point where he's driven now multiple generations of cars and knows when we went down this path, here's was the positives. When we went down this path, here's been the negatives. And so I just try to kind of think of what I might think and see if they kind of agree with that, I would say.
Who's your driving style the most like of these three?
Man, I don't know. I think I'm on an island, sort of, with kind of how I use the pedals, but...
You mean that heartbeat?
Yeah, but I would say, you know, there's aspects that I would say that me and Martin on mile and a half are more similar. But really all of them. I mean, the great thing about having really fast teammates is that I'm not afraid to look at any of them.
Right.
Information. That's what's fun about this, is that every week we're all fast, and there's some corners that one is faster than the other, and both are faster than me in this corner or that corner, and I can just pick apart which ones that I want to kind of take from. So it's really hard to compare nowadays unless you're driving the exact same thing as other drivers. And so I've got teammates that have their own individual, you know, skill levels and expertise in certain things that I like to pull from.
All right, don't give me a BS answer. What's been the hardest thing that you've had to learn coming from the Xfinity car to this new style Cup car?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is how everybody's a lot quicker. You know, the field's a lot tighter, as they said. And then just the experience level has been the biggest thing for me. You know, Xfinity, I can get in, and of course, it's a lot easier to make mistakes and still run well. Here, it'll bite you. So that's been the biggest thing for me, and just gaining time at tracks and gaining more experience is really important.
So you go through Richmond, and obviously you guys, I mean, you had the dominant car, And I know that when I was, you have this dynamic of a team, and obviously you guys get along.
Yeah.
It's very apparent that you guys get along good enough to be decent humans to each other. I've been on teams where it was, hey, we're going to do a group interview with each other, and it'd be like, no, we're not. we're not going to do a group interview. So I think it was always interesting for me when you go through a situation like you guys went through at Richmond, and you know how fast your cars are, and you know the situation. You don't get these cars all the time, and I live the frustration through you at Richmond. Tell the folks watching what it's like when you have to go back and say, probably not my best moment, and how you have to go about that, how you guys go about it when you guys get into that situation as a team to go back and say, okay, I need to set this right, that was wrong. What's the process like on what day are your meetings? Mondays?
Mondays, yeah.
Tuesdays? Are you there all the time?
No.
No?
I mean, I'm there,
are
but
you
I'm
a texter?
Not in person.
Are you a texter
spirit.
Or a phoner?
I'm generally a texter and
a texter.
I call in.
Okay, so
yeah.
How do you go about that with Denny on a Monday? When you know that, did you text him?
Yeah, he texted me first.
He texted you first.
Yeah, okay. And I was like, I don't know what exactly I said. I'm sorry, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, basically we've been around each other long enough.
Yeah.
We've raced each other for so many wins and so many different things over the years. It's a respect level, right?
Like, yeah.
No matter what happens on the racetrack, I get it. We're there to race. We're there to win. We're there to do the best for our team in that moment. And then, you know, it comes down to respect it after the race. When you do something stupid, you got to swallow your pride and say, sorry, I'm an idiot.
Oh, it's terrible.
You know?
God, I hate it.
And it's one of the toughest things about this sport is the disappointments, learning how to deal with those because there's so many. You know, I can think of five or six other times that same exact scenario happened at Richmond, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you keep your emotions in check? That's the hardest part of this sport. And, you know, I think Ty, as a young guy, is learning that it's so competitive, it's so difficult, and you're, you know, you're judged on how many races you win. When something happens that takes a win away from you that had nothing to do with you, that's super hard to deal with. But when you're talking to teammates, like with Denny, we, you know, I have so much respect for Denny. I had so much respect for you guys you've raced with for years.
Yep.
We all lose our minds once in a while, right? And we understand that. And you just have to...
pop the top.
I'm
as guilty of it as anybody.
Yeah, for sure. So it was a simple thing, you know, just a whatever, I'm an idiot,
And I knew how upset he was because I knew the history that this has happened to him five times. So I knew.
Yeah.
Like, I was empathizing, like, and I said it after the race. I said, the guy is six times has dominated this race and not won it for various reasons.
That's the maddest Martin's ever
I understand
been.
Why. I understand why he is going off the rails. I get it.
Ever moments, right?
Yeah. When, so you've been very, I would say, at another level for the last few years, but to me it seems like you don't get the credit that you deserve for the performance that you guys have had in your car. And it seems like there's always something over here that's happening that doesn't include Christopher Bell, and all of a sudden, bam. There you are. Why do you think that is? Because I view you as a consistent weekly contender, week in and week out, with the performance of your car and the things that you do as a race car driver. But it's not like you're out there trying to make headlines or anything along those lines of dealing with it. Is that a choice that you make?
I mean, I try to not be an idiot, but, you know, It's interesting because you look at Martin's wins, right, and the races that you won. And I think I saw an interview of, like, or maybe it was a mean tweet deal where people hate on you because you win the races you dominate, right?
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it hasn't happened for me yet. Like, out of the races that I've won, I haven't really led laps. I think Loudon and Phoenix were two races that I led the most laps, but even then I was, you know, mid-pack the first half of the race in both of those scenarios. So I haven't gotten to the point yet to where we've put a whole race together where we qualify up front, we lead laps, win stages, you know, have good pit stops and good restarts where I'm the guy up front. And it's good that we've been able to win races and be there at the end. But on the flip side, I think that's why I'm kind of this underdog, is because I'm not the guy that's leading all the laps like Martin did at Richmond, or, you know, just leading laps and controlling the race. We haven't been able to do that yet.
See, I don't picture you as that. Like when I look down the list of lap times and all the things that happen on a weekly basis, I always include the 20 car in that list, and it amazes me what fans do or don't gravitate to as far as what's exciting or what's not exciting. But I want to talk about Joe. I'll start with you.
Okay.
Because Joe has had some pretty incredible personalities as he's gone through the years. And I look at you guys as pretty tame compared to the Kyle Busch days. I don't think all four of you could probably add up to the amount of work that it took to keep Kyle under control.
I come close at times.
Really? What was the closest?
You know that whole thing that Christopher was saying about not being an idiot? Yeah. I kind of crossed that line sometimes.
So you're in a different position from a family perspective, and I know he's probably just had to chew your butt. What's the worst butt chewing that you've taken from Joe?
The worst butt chewing I've taken from my grandfather this day, and it never equated as close as my dad's butt chewing. That was different, right? My dad was way worse. But the worst one out of all the stupid stuff I've done was shooting my brother with an airsoft gun with about the distance between me and you, just wide open, and I held it to him. And that was the first time and the only time I've ever seen Coach's teeth. I was really young, so that was probably got the top of the charts.
What was the worst butt chewing your dad gave you over racing?
Oh, gosh.
A handful of times.
There's a couple of them. I used to race bicycles, and we were in BMX, so I was in LCQ, and they only took the top two out of the LCQ. And me being an idiot and being, I think I was probably 10, I wrecked the guy, the leader, for the LCQ. I was second, so we were going to make it in. And I wrecked the leader coming to the line, so we both didn't make the transfer at all. So my dad just took the bike and flung it, and then we went home. And that was the only time we talked about
it. So how long did you
I don't even think we got the bike back, to be honest.
How long did you race BMX bikes?
For 4 years, I think, 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that something you enjoyed?
Yeah, it was definitely the most, out of anything I've ever competed in, that was the most nervous I was going to hit the fan, and we didn't finish well.
What's the worst?
Oh, it's not even close.
Butt chewing from Joe.
After practice for the Daytona 500 2019, he specifically told us do not practice in a group because he didn't want to risk tearing up the cars. I practiced with my Toyota teammates, and then there was a pack out there, and I'm like, I just need to see what it's gonna do at the very tail of this pack. There was a crash, someone came from behind me and got me into it, wrecked the car. And he says, you are paying for that car, every nickel. He told me, you're paying for it. I'm not paying for this car, you're paying for it. And I says, yes, sir. I mean, he was really, really mad. He yelled at me. He never really has yelled at me, but he yelled at me.
Do you remember that, Martin?
We're all like, what is Denny doing?
And so, luckily for me, a couple days later, I won the Daytona 500, and he says, I'm going to let you slide on that car.
Different car.
Yes. Yeah. He said, I'm going to let you slide on
that. How about
you? Honestly, I have never been yelled at by a coach.
Really?
I mean, we've had lots and lots of conversations, and he has never yelled at me, so I guess I'm doing okay.
What did he say to you on pit road when you were walking by him at Richmond? It was the most classic reaction that I've ever seen. Have you watched it?
No.
Oh my God.
I have.
Really?
I want to know.
You walk by him. You walk by him, and he was like, you walk by and he was like, he kicks his.
Well, should have said something.
Yeah. How about you, Christopher?
So I'm with Martin. I don't know if I haven't been around long enough yet, but I will say, we were here. It was either 2020 or I think it was 2020. These guys, I didn't do good. It was the summer race because it was the COVID year. I know you guys will remember this. We had two or three cars maybe running 1-2 or 1-2-3.
You were in the 95.
I was in the 95. Yeah, so the yellow flag comes out, and it's either a green-white checkered or like three to go. You remember this?
We all pitted.
Everyone pitted.
Yeah.
Everyone pitted, and everyone the two pitted. RCR cars stayed out and ran 1-2.
Yeah.
And Joe, that was the maddest I've ever seen.
We were
seen.
Basically a bunch of idiots.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Because they were running 1-2-3 or 1-2, and they both came down pit road, gave the lead up to guys who stayed out, and they won the race.
So is this a competition meeting?
Competition
Joe?
Meeting, yeah.
So Joe, I thought Joe sat against the wall. He told me he sat against the wall, didn't sit at the table. That's not the case?
That's not the case.
He's at the table.
Okay.
And every time we end our meetings with, Joe, is there anything you'd like to add?
So who starts the meetings?
Not Joe.
Yeah.
Not
Joe. Is it typically you?
No, he just kind of goes in order of kind of like whoever finishes the highest start there, and then you go clockwise.
Okay.
So Joe ends the meeting.
Joe always gets the final word.
Yeah.
What if I told you this spring you could eat really good food without any stress, mess, or hassle? Well, that's exactly what you will experience with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Each meal is chef-crafted, fresh, and dietitian-approved. More importantly, they are never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. The choices are plenty. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular ones like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast on the go, lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Listen to some of these premium ingredients Factor has. Filet mignon, truffle butter, and shrimp restaurant quality food that you do not have to prep, cook, or clean up, delivered right to your doorstep. And if you need to change your deliveries, you can pause or reschedule whenever you like. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals. Also, for the month of April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So what are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/Harvick50 and use promo code Harvick50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Harvick50 at factormeals.com/Harvick50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off the following one. Fuel up fast, eat better, and get back to what you love doing this spring with Factor.
I'll never forget that Texas debrief, though. He let everyone in the room have it.
So is this a situation, like, when Joe's mad, does anybody fire back, or do we just end the meeting?
Yeah, it pretty much stops there.
That's it?
The buck ends there, yeah.
Just listen to Joe, and you move on.
Yeah.
Who's the most aggressive, if you had to pick out of these three?
Like, on track?
Of you four, yeah. No. Who's the most aggressive in the meetings? Him?
I would say the experience of Denny kind of leads the charge.
Would you say that over the past couple of years you've gotten more vocal in the meetings?
I've gotten more confident in what I'm saying. Yeah, and you know, you show up as a kid and a rookie, and you don't feel like anybody values your input. So, you know, you go and you fill out your sheet and you're talking about your car and you just don't want to waste time. But then the better you do, the better races you have, better results you get, then you feel like you're a little bit more valuable to the group. And you can speak up and share your information.
How much time do you spend in the shop during the week?
For me, you know, I really don't have a whole lot going on outside of it. So I feel like by 3 to 4 days usually in the shop for me. You know, Monday is kind of a half day because we just have our meeting. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm usually.
And are you at the point where you're just cup cars only, or do you want to race more?
I want to race more for sure. Yeah.
What's the problem there? Why can't we race more?
Well,
is there somebody putting a restrictor plate on this?
Or? Yeah. I think just we have.
Who's putting?
Bossman doesn't. I don't know. I mean, Christopher. You can ask Christopher about that. To be honest with you, but
I get one Xfinity race a year,
one.
Man. Come on.
I chose to go to four.
Would you run?
Yeah.
Yeah, I ran one a couple years ago.
I got to that point,
so
too.
Fun.
I was like,
send this guy to Richmond.
Yeah.
I'll take Richmond.
Yeah. Let him get back some of them wins he got cheated out of.
You're always mad in the Xfinity races by the time it's over, though.
Yeah. I backed myself down to four this year. Just
to road back
courses,
to four races?
Just to road courses.
Because you don't want
to. Ovals, I'm not done.
You don't want to get that. You don't want to get in any more trouble.
Yeah, it just doesn't help, and it's not fun racing.
And you grew up racing all the time, and you don't race near as much as I think you should.
Yeah, I run 36 races a year.
That's it?
That's it.
Why? I mean.
Yeah, why?
Why are you skipping?
Now, see, you're going to get him in trouble or he's going to get yelled at.
Okay, time out. Let me rephrase that. We don't want to get, the goal is to not get anybody in trouble. So you run 36 races a year.
Or 38, whatever the number
38.
Is, yeah.
So we'll give you 2 weeks off. You can run 36. Good?
Absolutely.
What would you race?
Doesn't have to be. We're going down a wrong path here.
Oh, God. I don't even know.
Something on dirt.
Yeah.
Just be honest.
I would rather
you don't
not
need to be running that.
Yeah. All right. Well, obviously there's.
I would love to run Xfinity races though.
All right.
I'd like to run some dirt races.
Me what kind of dirt race?
Do it together.
Who'd be the best dirt racer of these three?
Oh. So Martin, I'll be honest, actually Ty did too. We did a. I don't even know what it was. These guys went and ran dirt midgets
at Indy.
At Indy, yeah, at the racetrack in Indy. And Martin and I.
Wait a second. At the little track in
yeah.
the
yes.
build in the infield.
Yes. Yep. 2021.
You guys raced?
It was amazing. No.
It was just like a hot lap session or whatever.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get invited to that.
Yeah.
But Martin did great.
It was
he
amazing.
Did amazing. And Ty, I don't think he got a fair shake.
Yeah.
But Martin did great.
Some excuses.
What? So
he flipped it too.
You did?
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's
I tipped it over. They call it tipping it over.
Okay.
You run the cushion, you ride the cushion, you know, right rear up the wall, and it just kind of tipped over.
So you'd like to run dirt races?
I'd love to.
Dirt races. All right. I got some hard-hitting questions now. Tire wear or power? Which one?
Both.
You can't have both.
Okay, tire wear. We're not power. Getting power, so just say tire wear.
Yeah. As much as Bristol?
Yeah. All right. Like, if we went back to Bristol, well, let me rephrase that. The left sides didn't wear at all at Bristol. The right sides were gone. So even that out, and we could do 60 laps no problem tomorrow.
Yep.
100%.
So, okay, here's my question for you. You never once ran hard, right, at that race?
I mean, I got close a few times.
Late in the race?
Call it 90%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was that an experience difference at Bristol? Was that like inexperience? Is that
I was watching them
and I knew they were going too hard.
No, but
I watched you getting sideways off the corner. I'm like, oh no.
So they're telling me, you know, take it easy. I had a pit road penalty and I came from the back to lead and I drove it three times as hard as I did the final stage. This final stage when I quartered me and Christopher quartered our tires probably within the same lap. I drove it way easier. So I have a conspiracy. I don't know.
I'm with
Ty. You don't think it matters.
I drove it so hard.
I drove it so hard.
I was like, I was waiting for myself. I'm like, it's going to get me here in a second. No problem. Came in, ran our last segment, ran three times easier. All the issues.
Should have went five. You should have went five times easier.
Yeah.
Bad set of tires.
Yeah.
Bad set of tires. Yeah, there
you
go.
And did you have the same tires?
So... I don't know. I left Bristol frustrated because I felt like it was a crew chiefs race. And Denny drove the car properly. Martin drove the car properly. But like I'm following these guys, running the same pace as these guys, and way under the tire. And he saw me slipping. But at that point, I was already cooked, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at data, and like all of our stuff is pretty much line over line. And you have some cars that make it and some cars that don't make it. So...
Bristol was a little extreme. There's no question about it. You want to have certain aspects where you can go 100%. I agree. It was at max. I probably was at a 90%, like on any given lap.
Yep.
But again, the teams could make adjustments. If nothing changed, we went back to the same tire, same conditions. I have full faith the teams would fix most of the problems.
That was as close to a late model stock race as I've ever seen a cup race.
Yeah.
Did you? You've never run? Have you run a late model stock?
No, but I run supers, and it was the same way. Like you're just under the tire, the leaders kind of sets the pace, and everyone kind of falls in line.
Yeah, it was just interesting at the end because we were on the TV side. We were on the experience cell, and then it lined up. You two. You
Brad.
Guys fell off, and here comes Brad, kind of poking along. winds up third that night.
Trust me, at the end, I saw him in my mirror, thinking, which one's gonna go off first, me or him?
Yeah.
And it was like the same time, like three or four to go. I'm like, oh, I'm dying. And I'm like, oh, he's dying too.
Yeah.
So it was crazy.
Championship four, location, final race.
Has to rotate.
It's got to move.
Where?
Back to Miami.
I mean, Miami's fine, but not every year, right?
Yeah. Now, I don't know where else we're gonna go because of the weather.
We could end about a month and a half earlier.
You make that happen.
I can't. I've learned I can't make anything happen. But I've been trying to make stuff like that happen. You agree?
I agree. Yeah, it needs to move
Homestead?
Around for sure. But I mean, I love Homestead. Yeah, but
Homestead Phoenix.
There's only so many options, like you said. You know, if we're gonna race in November. A lot of places is too cold.
Yeah.
You know, so we end it earlier. That sounds good. And we can move it wherever we want.
I think that would be great.
Not Daytona, not Talladega.
Yeah, no.
That can't happen.
It certainly cannot end at a super speedway race. That's just, that wouldn't be right.
You're going to have people saying Atlanta now, too.
No, not what's, Atlanta.
Unless it's part of a championship round.
All right, this is going to be the hardest question I've ever answered in your whole life. I'm going to let him go first. I'm going to let you have time to think about it. Who's the better driver, Dale Jr. or Chase Elliott?
That is wrong for you to ask me that.
I told you it was going to be the hardest question you ever had to answer in your whole life.
Mm. Chase Elliott.
Well, it's hard. It's definitely a hard question.
You have to pick, though.
Yeah.
You have to pick.
Statistically, I would say Chase Elliott, right?
Okay. I don't know if that's right.
You don't think so?
Well, statistically, I don't.
Does have a championship.
Yeah, that's.
Cup
yeah.
championship.
Chase?
Yeah. Got to go with
I'm going to say Chase as well.
Okay. Well, that was, you guys were way easier at that than I thought.
We have to answer to Chase on the racetrack. We don't have to answer Dale Jr. on the track.
What's the...
When's this airing again?
Yeah. What's the first track you'd tear down?
Right across the street.
Same.
Atlanta times...
Really?
Any day of the week that you can clean that place out.
This one. Okay. Restart zone.
Here's second.
Timing line or take the lines off the track?
If you're going to...
Timing loop or take the
lines off
the
track? If you're going to enforce a rule, it needs to be enforced with timing lines, yes.
Whatever they set the rule as, just call it.
Do you want to put a timing line in or take the lines off the track to give them more... So that it's not a hard...
I mean, we need a visual.
Mm. Yeah.
Saying open it up where you can go in?
Yeah, I like that.
Keep the signs on the wall, but it gives them... It's not a hard line.
I just, like, turn four. But how go do you, in turn four.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
the leader should have an advantage.
Yes.
I agree. Because right now, it's just everyone's, you just see everyone's timing their run to the leader. And so I would, the bigger the area, the better. But just agree, whatever the,
all right.
Call it whatever it is.
So he might have had the best car story I've ever heard. I don't know if you guys heard it, but tell him about your first car. Tell him about your
first.
Oh,
I have heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear it?
I've heard it.
Yeah. Ford Ranger.
Tell him about your first car.
Yeah,
tell
I dropped
why,
it.
Tell them why you wanted a Ford Ranger.
Because my goal in life was to be in Mini Trucking Magazine.
Yeah.
So I lowered this thing, put airbags on it. I mean, just scraping the ground.
They call
tubbed
that?
Tubbed out the back.
Pimped out?
Oh,
so like
tweed interior.
Tweed.
It was, and I finally got my picture. I got a little tiny picture from it was a car show in Charlotte called the Booger Bash. The Booger Bash. I finally
Booger
got
Bash.
A, yes.
Booger Bash.
Booger Bash.
Okay.
Booger yeah. Bash. And so that was a big car show in Charlotte that used to happen, and so I finally got in that magazine. So my life was made. I was working at Subway when I was driving that thing, though.
Now you gotta finish telling the story. How did its life end? How did the truck? Keep going. Tell them what you ran into.
Oh yeah, I mean I ran in the back of a school bus.
What was your first car?
Changing CD.
Exactly what happened. CD I was actually grabbing a CD.
My first car was a Camaro. Actually, I don't even know if I should say this.
It's
but
fine. Everybody lives a lifetime.
So my dad's first car is a Camaro, so he's like, "We'll do the same thing. We'll keep it going." So my first car is a Camaro. I don't know how.
What year?
2018.
A 2018 Camaro.
Yeah. I don't know how I didn't get myself killed.
Just got his license 5 years ago.
Yep. Yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
That was it. It was a good time. Had a good run.
What happened to it?
It got sold.
You didn't wreck it.
Yeah, didn't wreck it. It got close. Burned a lot of rear tires off of it. But
how would you explain that?
Just go look at the Xfinity shop parking lot. You can just go look at that and be like, oh, that's me.
My dad had this. We had this old brown 1981 stepside pickup, and he had put like exhaust pipes and headers, a whole exhaust system on the thing. And I mean, it sounded like a race car. Well, we shared the truck because I couldn't afford to buy it. So we would take this truck. I would take him to the firehouse and drop him off, and then I got to drive it for 2 days. But it was a similar situation like that. It would burn the rear tires off. So I would go pick my buddies up, and we would go spin donuts in this thing and just burn the rear tires off of it. And I never did think about the fact that there, we would go clean the truck up, polish it all up, and I never thought about the fact that he would look in the wheel wells and see the rubber caked up on the back of the wheel wells, and that's how I got caught doing all those donuts. But you were doing them at the shop, so I guess.
Yeah, late. Nobody was there.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
They got cameras.
They have cameras. I don't. Yeah.
Didn't think about that part.
Yeah, I want to go back and see what I can see on those things, though, for sure.
Martin, what was your first car?
I had a Jeep. So we had like a Woods Jeep that we kept at the house for messing around. And then when I was 16, I talked my dad into giving it to me so I could work on it. And I went the opposite way of Denny. I went up.
Yeah.
Big tires, you know, suspension, put a V8 Chevrolet engine in there, 4-speed transmission, all the whole 9 yards. So there was many days driving to school where I'd blow the drive shaft out of it. Have to
really?
Drive in front wheel drive, stop at Napa, get a U-joint.
Like, did you have like 38s or?
35 is when I started.
Okay.
44 is when it ended.
Whoa, 44s?
44 yeah. inch tires. You had mudders.
Holy
yeah, that's
cow.
What we did. Like, we just went and played in the woods, you know, and like whoever had the baddest truck could go through the biggest mud hole.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we did. So, still fun. Left it at my parents' house when I moved to Carolina. It pretty much rusted away, and I brought everything down, took all the good parts off it, and built a new one. So I still got a Jeep.
Christopher?
I don't have any cool stories.
You had to have a car.
Yeah, I probably had a 2003 or 4 Toyota Tacoma.
Yeah.
That was it. Just an everyday driver.
Just cruised around.
Everyday
in it.
Driver.
Drove
yep.
to the
Fortnite. That's so Christopher Bell of you.
To and from the dirt track.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. It went to a lot of dirt tracks.
Fortnite or iRacing?
iRacing. Believe it or not, I don't know what Fortnite
iRacing.
Is.
Are you a gamer still?
I get in streaks where all of a sudden I'll get on iRacing and I'll do it for like, you know, 2 or 3 nights a week for a month or two, and then I won't do it for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm on the 2 years right now. I haven't done it, so.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to split the middle on this one, to be honest with you.
If you're going into your rig.
But in my house? I don't have anything in the rig, but in my house, it's 50-50. Yeah.
Do you stay up all night?
Not anymore. I've learned my lesson.
Okay.
I'm getting older here.
You still?
I've never played Fortnite, and I haven't been on iRacing since COVID.
You probably had an Atari, right?
Yes, I'm that old.
Yeah. I played Atari.
You had an Atari too.
I didn't own one. I played it. First one I had was Nintendo.
I was pre-Atari in television. It's like it had the little number pad on it with the little dial on it. All right. So last thing we gotta do. This is gonna be right up your alley. So closest to the pin out of you four.
$100.
Which pin?
Which pin?
This one.
The close one?
The yellow
close
one?
Close one.
Okay. I got a chance.
Yeah, I got to try this. We got some lefty
clubs
here.
You
we all betting 100 or just you?
No, just me.
Who are you betting on?
I'm just giving it to whoever's the closest.
That's a pot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So...
All right.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. I know for me, that's a lot of fun to sit down with those four drivers. And I can't believe that Ty Gibb lost his bike over a last chance qualifying race. But we encourage you to follow along at Harvick Happy Pod anywhere on social media. Follow us on YouTube or anywhere else that you get your podcast. So we'll be back next Tuesday with another great episode of Kevin Harvick's Happy Hour presented by NASCAR and Fox.